Well, let's just bow our heads in a moment of prayer as we come before God's word. Lord, we do just come before you this morning, Lord, and having sung to you and having lifted our prayers and requests to you, Lord, we ask now that as we open your word, that you would speak to us and help us to understand it. And we ask this in your name. Amen. Now, friends, today is Good Friday. You're all in church because it is Good Friday today. And it's a day that we remember and are reminded of what Jesus went through in his trial on the cross, so that you and I could be with God and share with the glory that Jesus now has. No doubt all of us sitting here this morning are very familiar with this story, with what Jesus went through, with the events that took place in and around this time 2,000 odd years ago. Now, in our Bible studies, as I've already mentioned, we have been working through the Apostles' Creed. And over the past few weeks, we've actually, it's amazing how God works, but we've been able to have a look at the death, the suffering, and the resurrection of Jesus. And if you'd like to, and if you want to familiarize yourself again with that whole episode, why don't you read Matthew 27? Well, we're not going to look at that this morning, but that whole event is recorded for you there in pretty much its complete form in Matthew 27. Now, without shrugging off the death of Jesus, I want to pick up a prayer that Jesus prayed literally a few hours before he was betrayed, arrested, and beaten and killed. Now, last Sunday, we began our journey through this prayer in John chapter 17, where we saw that Jesus was praying for his glory. And if you were with us, you'll recall that this was not a selfish, self-centered prayer, but rather a prayer, can I say, with an ulterior motive. Jesus wanted to be glorified because ultimately he was wanting to glorify his Father, God the Father, who would be glorified as Jesus did what God told him to do. So what Jesus was actually praying in the first portion here, verses 1 to 5 of chapter 17, was that with his obedience, with Jesus' obedience to the Father, God would give him glory as Jesus glorified God. Now, in this next section of the prayer, Jesus prays for those who follow him. The NIV heading there says Jesus prays for his disciples. And yes, in the context of this prayer, Jesus is praying for the 12 men that he had lived with for the past 3 odd years. But I think this also applies to us today, for Paul and other writers of the Bible say that as Christians, we are also Jesus' disciples. So I don't want us just to shrug off this little section and say, oh, well, that was for Jesus' disciples. It doesn't apply to us today. It applies as much to us today as it did to Jesus' 12 disciples 2,000 years ago. Now, in this prayer, you'll notice that in the Bible helpfully breaks it up into 3 sections. And in these last 2 sections, from verse 6 right through to the end of the chapter, Jesus reiterates what he has done by obeying his Father, and then asks God for a number of requests. Now, I want to have a look at part of that today, and Sunday we're going to pick up the balance of it. So what is Jesus praying for? What is he saying in this prayer just after he has prayed for God to glorify him as he glorifies God? Well, firstly, this morning, I want us to have a look at Jesus' total obedience. So the total obedience by Jesus. And then we find this in verses 6 to 10. You'll see that as Jesus carries on with his prayer here and prays for those who are following him, he restates what he has done for God. You see there, verse 6, I have revealed you. Now, this is Jesus talking to God. So I, Jesus, have revealed you, God, to those whom you gave me. And then jumping down a little bit, they have obeyed your word. And verse 8, for I gave them words, or the words you gave me, and they accepted them. And jumping down to verse 10, and glory has come to me through them. What Jesus is really saying, and what we learn from these verses, is that everything that Jesus did, he didn't just do because he felt like doing it. He did it because God had told him that he should do it. And so often in the Gospels, we read of incidents where Jesus refused to heal people because God's presence was not there with them. In other occasions, he heals people. In other occasions, he teaches people. And what he's saying here in his prayer is, God, I have done what you've told me to do. I have taught them what you taught, what you wanted me to teach them. And now look, they are obeying you because of what I have done in obeying you. Jesus did everything that God commanded him to do. Now, remembering that this prayer is prayed in the upper room on the Last Supper, moments before, well, Judas has already left them at this point, but moments before Jesus goes into the Garden of Gethsemane and Judas comes along and betrays Jesus. And Jesus is alluding not only to everything that he's done already, but he's alluding to what he will and is about to go through. Jesus is saying that he is obeying God even up to the point of giving his life. Friends, that's what Paul spoke about in Philippians 2, verse 8. And we see the reference there on the screen. Philippians 2, where Jesus says he has humbled himself and become obedient to death, even death on a cross. Now, we're familiar with that verse. We're familiar with the fact that Jesus died on the cross. But I think we tend to forget about the process that Jesus had to go through at this point. We think of Jesus going to the cross. We try to visualize the pain and the suffering, and Mel Gibson tried to portray that for us in that graphic movie a few years ago on Jesus Christ and on the crucifixion. And we try to come to grips with the whole story. But I think we're forgetting a portion of the story as we look at that. We see the agony, we see the pain, we see the suffering. But do we think about what Jesus was going through prior to all that, as he mentally prepared himself to obey God? Perhaps you've been asked by a friend or your partner or a colleague or somebody to do something for them, and you've said, "Oh, no, sure, not a problem, I will do that for you." I'm sure we've all done something like that at some stage during our lives. And eventually, as we start getting involved with whatever we said we do, we realize that it's bigger than what we anticipated. We've almost, as if it were, bitten more than we can chew. And so as the time draws near for us to complete this action or to go through with what we said we do, we're asking ourselves in our minds, what on earth am I doing? Why did I agree to do this? And we start to get cold feet. And we actually don't want to do it anymore. Sometimes, even at the last minute, we pick up the phone and we phone them and say, "Sorry, I can't do it anymore." And we pull out of what we had committed to do. But not so, friends, with Jesus. He has obeyed God all through his life and now faces what I believe is his single biggest test of obedience. And that is to give up his life. I think that must have been huge for Jesus, and something that perhaps we don't always think about. The mental struggle that Jesus went through. In one of the other Gospels, we read of the fact that as Jesus prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane, his sweat was like that of blood. this huge agony that Jesus was going through prior to anyone even laying a hand on him. The mental preparation for obedience to God. Yet, what we see is that Jesus obeys God. And as he obeys God, he not only brings glory to God, but God says, "You've obeyed me, I will glorify you." And of course, as we continue reading this prayer, we realize that as Jesus obeys God, it opens up the way for us to be glorified by God as well. And we'll chat about that on Sunday morning. What I want us to see here is the fact that Jesus obeyed God right up to the point of death. And as I've mentioned, as a result of Jesus' total obedience, Jesus gets glory, God is glorified, and we are glorified if we trust and follow what Jesus has done for us. Now, it's because of what Jesus has done, because of Jesus' obedience to God, that he is now able to ask God for four different things in the remaining verses of this chapter. In verse 11 to 16, you will notice that Jesus asks for the protection of those who follow him. In verse 17 to 19, we see that Jesus prays that through him being sanctified, we would be sanctified. Another way of saying that we would be purified and made holy. Then, in the remaining section of chapter 17 from verse 20 to the end, we find a mix of Jesus praying for unity for those who follow him, and also that those who follow him would be glorified as he himself is glorified. Now this morning I want to pick up on just one of those four requests, and God willing on Sunday we'll attempt to look at the other three requests that Jesus prayed. Now the request that I want to have a look at this morning is, I think, the request that is tied in with Jesus' death on the cross. And that is found in verses 17 to 19. And the direct result of Jesus' obedience to God in dying on the cross. So secondly this morning, not only have we looked at Jesus' total obedience, but I want to have a look at what Jesus then prays for is the total acceptance of us by God. Jesus has been teaching his disciples up to this point about what is going to happen to him. And you remember that Jesus spent a lot of time telling them that the Son of Man must die and be raised to life. Of course, the disciples, as we know, at this point do not understand what Jesus has been talking about. And so they're a bit out of sorts as to what is happening. But Jesus knows exactly what is about to happen. He knows exactly that he is going to die. And so he prays. He reveals to us why he needs to go through with what God has sent him to do. And so verse 19, "For them, that is those who follow Jesus, I sanctify myself, that they too may be sanctified." In other words, Jesus obeys God up to the point of death so that he can make those who trust him holy. Now, that word sanctify is an interesting word. It's a word that we generally don't use much in our everyday conversations. But it carries with it the meanings of purify and to make holy, as well as many other ideas as well. But what is Jesus then saying, "as I sanctify myself"? For wasn't Jesus pure? Wasn't Jesus holy? Wasn't Jesus without sin? Why then does Jesus pray that he needs to sanctify himself? Well, that's the interesting element here, because the word sanctify doesn't only mean purify and make holy. It also shows us the word sanctify can be used in terms of obedience. I sanctify myself as I listen to the command of my boss, or whatever it might be. We generally don't speak like that today, but that's the implication, that's the way that John is using this word here. Jesus is saying, I am really sanctified as I obey God to the point of death. He's showing us that part of the sanctification process is obedience to God. Submitting to the will of God the Father. And so when Jesus is praying here, by implication he's saying that I am submitting to the will of my Father in heaven. So much so that I am willing to go to the cross, that I am willing to die so that I might open the way for others to be sanctified. So when John then goes on to speak and the Lord Jesus prays here and says that Jesus is sanctified so that we might be sanctified, he's saying, I'm going to die on the cross so that we might be made pure, that we might be made holy, so that the way might be open for us to obey God, so that we, as we'll see on Sunday, might be glorified with Jesus. Now notice how this process of sanctification takes place. Verse 17, Paul prays, sanctify them by the truth. What truth? Well, he qualifies that and he says, your word is truth. And friends, that's the key, isn't it? We cannot be made pure and holy or be sanctified in any way, or in any way we like. We cannot be accepted by God using any other means than by what God has given us. And that is by accepting the truth of God's word. Now, yes, that means that if we do not listen to God and to his word, and if we do not do what God tells us in both the New Testament and the Old Testament, if we do not accept that, we will not be accepted by God and made holy by him. But it does carry with it the idea of trusting in God's word, the idea of obedience to God as obeying the law, and ultimately our sanctification by God is brought about as we read the Bible and discover not just the laws and the commands that God has given us, but that we discover that we are sinners, that we deserve death, and that there is nothing that we can do to fix that problem. As we listen to the truth of God's word, as God speaks to us through the Bible, where he tells us that we can be freed from our sin only by going through Jesus, that is how we are then sanctified. So, yes, rightly there is an element of obedience in sanctification. But more importantly, there's an element of listening to God, hearing what he says, both the good and the bad, and applying that to our lives. Jesus obeyed his Father right up to the point of death, so that you and I, and all who turn to him, might be sanctified. And friends, that's what the cross is all about. And that is what we ultimately remind ourselves about every time we celebrate the Lord's Supper, every time we come together on an Easter weekend. Believing that Jesus died on the cross for us so that we might be sanctified. Accepting what Jesus has done on the cross for us so that we can be accepted in God's presence. Now friends, I know that all of us are familiar with the Easter story. I know that we've all heard it before. But Jesus obeyed God up to the point of death so that you and I might be able to meet God face to face one day. So my question to you this morning is, do you believe this? Are you listening to the truth of God's word? Have you come to accept the truth that God speaks about, that you are a sinner, that I am a sinner, and we need God's help? Or are you perhaps just happily sitting here in the chair saying, I've done my bit for this Easter, the rest I can sort out on myself? But if that's how you're thinking, friends, then think about the truth of God's word. Think about why Jesus then willingly went to the cross. Why he obeyed God even up to the point of giving his life. Why did he do that if it wasn't for you and me? If it wasn't so that we could be sanctified? But perhaps you do know all this, friends, and you've been around for a while and you've heard this and you know what Jesus has done for you. Well, then perhaps we need to listen to what Jesus said, how he obeyed his Father, even up to the point of death. Are you and I willing to do that because of what Jesus has done for us? Are you and I willing to obey God even when it will lead to persecution? Even when it will lead to people shunning us and pushing us aside? Are we willing to obey God even in adverse circumstances, amongst our friends, amongst our families? Jesus did so that we might be sanctified. The least we can do is obey God in giving thanks for what he has done for us. Well, let's pray and ask for God's help in this. Lord, we do come before you this morning, Lord, and we thank you for your word. We thank you for this prayer that you prayed that shows us not only that you obeyed God fully while you were in this world, but that you even obeyed God, allowing God to send you to the cross. Something that each of us sitting here this morning, Lord, would probably hesitate to do, but you did it. And we thank you for that, Lord. But Lord, we also thank you that through your death on the cross, as you obeyed God and were sanctified in doing so, that you now open the way so that each of us might be sanctified and made pure and holy in your sight. Lord, we ask that you would help us. We ask, Lord, that you would help us to obey you out of thankfulness for what you have done for us. Lord, if there's those here this morning who do not know you, we pray, Lord, that as they reflect on what you've done, how you willingly went to the cross, how you willingly gave your life, you would help them to realize why and to turn to you. And so we ask these things in your name. Amen.